Now, this is Moses' rod, part two. This is not the stick, but the actual law. Let us take a look over here at what the rod means in Hebrew. I'm going to choose two sources. Just a moment, please. The first source that I'm going to choose is the Hebrew Chaldee Lexicon of the Old Testament. And we are going to look at the law as the rod in this section. The rod. All right, here's the definition. The rod is a stick, a rod, so-called, from supporting to this answer. It's used for beating or striking and chastening. Hence, the rod with which God corrects, used of calamity sent by God. In the rod of his mouth, his severe sentences, a shepherd's rod, a crook. The scepter of a king, a tribe of the Israelites, to bring the Israelites into government, so to speak, a scepter of the leader or the prince of the tribe, a measuring rod and a metan, a portion measured off. You have so much. You measure with a reed, as we said, the cannon, a spear. The word of God is like a sword. It's sharp. It cuts. These are the rods, a tribe. All right. So this staff, this stick, this rod of the law, the Torah, it brings correction, it brings instruction and righteousness, it disciplines, it reproves, rebukes, it counsels. It's in the Vine's Expository Dictionary of Biblical Words, we have a rod means a staff, a rod, a scepter, as used in Aaron's rod, Hebrew 9:4, a staff used on a journey, Matthew 10:10, a staff, stave, staff, a ruler's staff, a scepter. Elsewhere, a rod in Revelation for chastisement and a measuring rod. To beat with a rod is used in Acts 16, 20, to beat with rods in 2 Corinthians 11:25 were those used by Roman lictors or sergeants, rod bearers. The Romans beating with the rods is distinct from the Jewish infliction of stripes. And then I will go on to say that that the rod is the rod of correction, the rods of God's laws, as seen in that which Moses commanded the Israelites. Now, in this segment, we are establishing that the rod is the law of God and the scriptures that are revealed to us by divine authority, by the Spirit and the hand of God. Let's look at James chapter 1. Let's look at the verse of 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was, that he was a mess, or that he's a sinner. So you look at God's law, and it is the taskmaster. It brings a correction and righteousness. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. All right. And let's go over here to James. So he's talking about the law makes us look at ourselves. And we're to measure ourselves up with that. James 3, my brothers, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. All right, this is really important. Teachers of what? Teachers of the law. Instructors. We are the instructors of righteousness or instructors in evil. We are in the rod of God's instructions, the Torah. So we instruct according to the revealed the rod, correction, the example, the guiding, your rod and your staff, they guide me, okay? They lead me into what? Paths of righteousness. They are to instruct us and correct us and dial us into becoming perfected in the image of Jesus as children of the Most High, the Creator. Therefore, we are not saved by the law, but we are instructed by the law of what we need to be saved from, which is basically ourselves. our fallen nature, our sinful nature. Let's have a look. We're going to look a little deeper into Romans 2. Therefore, you have no excuse, whoever you are, passing judgment. For when you judge someone else, you are passing judgment against yourself, since you who are judging do the same things he does. Now, this scripture has been so twisted out of context by people who don't know how to rightly divide scripture. It says, when you're doing these, you're judging and you're doing the same thing. You don't have an excuse. You're saying, oh, he does, you know, as Jesus said, oh, the Pharisees are saying that this woman was an adulterer. And yet Jesus saw in their hearts and he knew they were all adulterers. They were passing judgment and they're doing the same thing. They passed judgment against themselves. He knew what was in the hearts of men and women. Verse 2, we know that God's judgment lands impartially on those who do such things. Do you think that you, a mere man, passing judgment on others who do such things, yet doing them yourself will escape the judgment of God? This is duplicitousness. This is hypocrisy. You say one thing, you teach one thing, but you do the very thing that you teach and preach against. Or perhaps you despise the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience because you don't realize that God's kindness is intended to lead you to turn away from your sins. It's very interesting that the scripture reading in 1 Samuel for the prophets is Hannah bringing Samuel to Eli, and she led him to the Lord, it says. She led him to the Lord. She gave him up for the Lord's service as a promise because she granted her a son, and he became the mouthpiece to lead God's people back to his laws and the Torah. But by, verse 5, but by your stubbornness, by your unrepentant heart, you are storing anger up anger for yourself on the day of anger, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. And this is the days of the fear of God, and wisdom is to humble yourself and acknowledge your sinful ways, to repent from that. For he will pay back each one according to his deeds. To those who seek glory and honor and immortality by perseverance in doing good, he will pay back eternal life. But to those who are self-seeking, who disobey the truth and obey evil, he will pay back wrath and anger. Yes, he will pay back misery and anguish to every human being who does evil, to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. All right, what does this mean? It means that the rod of correction, the measuring rod of the temple, the rod of God's word will measure us and see if we line up and see if we need correction. And see if we need to search ourselves with his word and sit and look and listen to his instructions, his Torah, his statute, his precepts, his righteous decrees. But the glory to the Jew first, then to the Gentile, but glory and honor and shalom to everyone who keeps doing what is good, to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. All who have sinned outside the framework of Torah, the law, the teachings of God, will die outside the framework of Torah. And all who have sinned within the framework of Torah will be judged by Torah. For it is not merely the hearers of Torah whom God considers righteous. Rather, it is the doers of what Torah says who will be made righteous in God's sight. For whenever Gentiles who have no Torah do naturally what the Torah requires, then these, even though they don't have Torah for themselves, are Torah. They are the law. For their lives show that the conduct the Torah dictates is written in their hearts. Their conscience also bears witness to this, for their conflicting thoughts sometimes accuse them and sometimes defend them. On a day when God passes judgment on people's inmost secrets, according to the good news as I proclaim it, he does this through the Messiah Yeshua. But if you call yourself a Jew and rest on Torah and boast about God and know his will and give your approval to what is right because you have been instructed from the Torah, and if you have persuaded yourself that you are a guide to the blind, a light in the darkness, an instructor for the spiritually unaware, and a teacher of children, since in the Torah you have embodied, have the embodiment of knowledge and truth, then you who teach others, don't teach yourself. You don't teach yourself. Preaching, thou shalt not steal, do you steal? Saying, thou shalt not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? Detesting idols, do you commit idolatrous acts? You who take such pride in the Torah, do you, by disobeying the Torah, dishonor God? As it says in the Tanakh, for it is because of you that God's name is blasphemed by the Goyim, the Gentiles. For circumcision is indeed of value if you do what the Torah says. But if you are a transgressor of Torah, not Talmud, Torah, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the Torah, won't his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? Indeed, the man who is physically uncircumcised but obeys the Torah will stand as a judgment on you who have had the Brit Milah, that is the circumcision, and have the Torah written out, but violate it. For the real Jew is not merely Jewish outwardly. True circumcision is not only external and physical. On the contrary, the real Jew is one inwardly, and true circumcision is of the heart, spiritual, not literal, so that his praise comes not from other people, but from God himself. Amen, amen, amen.